Our scripture reading for this morning is found in the book of Revelation. It is found in Revelation chapter 21, and it is also in your hymnal. So please turn in your hymnal to responsive reading number 557, and then stay there because following our scripture response, we in the choir will sing 558. The choir will sing stanza 1, and all of us together will sing stanza 2. Please join me as we read responsively. "And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying,
'See, the home of God is among mortals.
He will dwell with them. They will be his peoples.
And God himself will be with them.
He will wipe every tear from their eyes.
Death will be no more.
Mourning and crying and pain will be no more.
For the first things have passed away.'
And the one who is seated on the throne said,
'See, I am making all things new. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end.'
Once in a while, you may find that even though you are telling the truth, it is difficult to convince your audience that you are, in fact, telling the truth and not some made-up fantasy. Once in a great while, the dog really does eat your homework. But convincing your teacher that that is the truth may be a bit challenging. And even in the era of online banking, sometimes the check really is in the mail. But getting the utility company to understand that might be a challenge. And in cases such as those, we occasionally turn to certain religious idioms in order to try and convince our audience that we are, in fact, telling the truth. I swear on a stack of Bibles. Or, it's the gospel truth. To tell the gospel truth is to emphatically declare, I'm not lying. So the gospel truth is a positive declaration of a negative. It is a description of something you're not doing. Now, the gospel truth used to be the good news of Jesus Christ, but now it's just news that is true. The gospel truth is even the title of a song that was featured way back in 1997 in the Disney animated movie Hercules. But neither the song nor the movie has anything to do with the gospel. Once upon a time, the word gospel was a Christian word, but now that word is used in ways that have very little to do with Christianity. In our culture, the gospel truth is no longer transformative, life-affirming, saving truth. Now it's just informative. The gospel truth is a shadow of its former self. The same sort of thing has also happened with All Hallows' Eve. Once upon a time, Christians celebrated All Hallows' Day, or All Saints' Day, by remembering and honoring the saints, both known and unknown, who went this way before us, and who are now part of what the book of Hebrews calls the great cloud of witnesses that encompasses us about and encourages us as we continue our earthly spiritual journey. As Christianity spread, Christians encountered various other pagan cultures, and they found these harvest festivals that were going on in Northern Europe that happened at about the same day that the church was celebrating All Hallows Day or All Saints Day. And so what these Christians back then did is they sort of combined the two in order to try and influence the wider culture. So they would say to the pagans, having the celebration of harvest, okay, great, we'll still have the celebration, but this is what we're really celebrating now and not that. And Christians did the exact same thing with Christmas and Easter. And some of the things that you and I do every single year at Christmas and Easter are really much more pagan in origin than they are Christian. It's just that Halloween seems to incorporate more sinister elements than many Christians are comfortable with. And as a result, some of us treat Halloween as if it were a nuclear event. We retreat into our theological bomb shelters and hunker down until the day passes. Others of us just say, "Lighten up!" And we revel in all the festivities without any concern or discernment. I agree that some cultural expressions of Halloween have gone too far. But I also maintain that All Hallows' Eve is a Christian holiday. We own it, and we have every right to celebrate it. November 1, today, All Hallows' Day, is the reason for honoring and celebrating those who had helped us pave the way before us, both in the Church Universal and in the church at the corner of Downey Street and 3rd Avenue. On this day, we remember and celebrate those who helped make us who we are, both unknown, who lived 500 years ago in a different place, but still had an impact on the line of faith. And the gospel was handed from somebody to them and from them to somebody, and on it goes until finally it wound up with us. And we celebrate those who have an impact on the church at the corner of 3rd Avenue and Downey Street. And today we remember and celebrate the lives of Dick and Bobby and Hazel and Jean. These four, during the last 12 months, have joined the Lord, and in some wonderful and mysterious way, these fellow pilgrims continue to encourage us as together we look to the promised day that the author of Revelation tells us about, when the home of God will be among mortals. He will dwell with them, they will be his people, and God himself will be with them. He will wipe every tear from their eyes, death will be no more, mourning and crying and pain will be no more, for the first things have passed away. And that truly is the gospel truth. We are promised a glorious future, a new heaven and a new earth that is untarnished and unspoiled by our misdeeds and our shortcomings. That really is the good news truth of the gospel. And what's even better news is we do not have to wait for some day out in the future in order to join God's kingdom here and now, in this present moment. Through the cross and the resurrection of Christ our Lord, we are all welcome citizens of God's kingdom. We are even now embraced and nurtured by the reality of God's new heaven and new earth. For it is a kingdom that is both already and not yet. It is here now in some ways, and it is fully yet to come in the future. The passage that we read together from Revelation looks to the future, but it also gives a nod to the past. In Revelation 21, we read that the voice from the throne, or the voice of God, proclaims, "I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. To the thirsty, I will give water as a gift from the spring of the water of life." Alpha and Omega are the first and last letters of the Greek alphabet. So God is A and Z, and God is everything in between. God is the beginning of all things, and God is the ultimate future of all things, and everything in the middle. Or another way of saying it, God is all-encompassing, and the gospel truth is all-encompassing. The gospel truth is everywhere. There is no part of our world that is closed off to the truth of the gospel, and that gospel truth is transformative. The gospel truth changes things. The gospel truth changes lives for the better. The gospel truth, the good news, is not a list of divine principles. It is not a catalog of Orthodox theology. The good news is the embodiment of divine love in a person. The Word, with a capital W, Christ Jesus, became flesh and lived among us. And that same good news took up residence in the lives of the people that we remember today. The good news takes up residence in our lives as well, transforming us into citizens of God's kingdom. That kingdom is both already and not yet. We know bits and pieces of it now, but it will eventually come in all of its glorious fullness. And as present-day citizens of God's forever kingdom, we proclaim the gospel truth in our lives through what we say and through what we do. We sound out the gospel truth, and we work with God in creating the new heaven and the new earth even now, even while living in the midst of the old heaven and the old earth. The gospel truth is transforming truth that was present with God at the beginning. It is present now, and it will be present at the culmination of time itself. And whenever we recognize and embrace and proclaim the love of God and the redeeming sacrifice of Christ, we are affirming that God is at the center of our world now. Every time that someone confesses their faith in Jesus Christ, one more stone is laid in the foundation of the new Jerusalem. Whenever we live out the gospel truth, we are living into God's future, and we are helped along the way by the saints of the past and by the ever-present guidance of God's Spirit. May our gospel truth always be the transformative truth that God is working among us and through us to bring the new heaven and the new earth just a little bit closer to reality. Let us pray. O God, you are first and last. You are all things. And in you is our true life and being. In you is our hope and salvation. We thank you for who you are. We thank you for the lives of those who have gone on before us. And we pray that we too will be those people that one day others yet to be born are thankful for as well. Because through your help, we have been found faithful. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.